Mini episode 574 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by First Down Scouting, delivering the most thorough scouting service available, uncovering the NFL stars of tomorrow. Follow them on the web at the number one, stdownscouting.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Welcome to FDH Lounge Mini Episode 574. This is FDH Managing Partner Rick Morris here with our review of the Mad Men series finale titled Person to Person. Of course, this segment is co-branded as usual with NotJustAnotherTVSite.com, where you can also find my weekly reviews of Mad Men and previews for all of the Season 7 Part 2 episodes. In the style of those previews, here's the top five developments for the Mad Men characters as they headed into their post-series lives. Number five. Even with his opportunity to haunt Sterling Cooper in the rearview mirror, Ken surprisingly finds validation in his work at Dow. While it wouldn't seem likely that the erstwhile Dave Algonquin could find creative worth in the production of industrial films, his conversation with Joni proved otherwise. Whether or not he ever tries to fire up the great American novel again, it's clear that Ken Cosgrove will find an outlet for his passion wherever he works. Number four, the personal malcontent account men are now personally content. Against all odds, Roger finds Megan's mother Marie charming and has married her in an age-appropriate coda to his wild 60s shenanigans. And Pete is jet-setting with his reunited family to Wichita. While the follically challenged Mr. Campbell has professional satisfaction to match, Roger doesn't have much to do in his gilded cage at McCann. But at least, by the end of the series, he apparently has Don, his old Sterling Cooper hangout buddy, back. Number three. Their conversations with Don reveal that Betty and Sally are both now all grown up. And let's be honest, Betty's maturity is the more surprising of the two, even if there's a tinge of characteristic iciness in her die-with-dignity approach. But in the end, she's made an honest assessment of what's best for her children in the tough years ahead, and in so doing, she got Don to take her seriously as he never has before. As for their daughter, while her experiences have led her to be a typical rebellious 60s teen at times, there's always been a wise beyond her years quality to her. How could you not grow up at an accelerated pace when you're the oldest child of a pair of train wrecks like Don and Betty? Sadly, part of the intelligence that Sally displayed to Don included a sense of reality about how little he could be counted on once Betty passes away. One can always hope that the new, improved Don that probably manifests itself post-series is capable of surprising his children in a positive way. Number two. Joan and Peggy have each moved in the other person's direction since the pilot. Think back to that initial episode, which was Peggy's first day on the job. She was all about succeeding at Sterling Cooper, whereas Queen Bee Joan was all about leveraging the workplace to land Mr. Right. Along the way, she tired of being viewed as a mere sex object, while Peggy's personal heartbreaks made her realize how much more seriously she needed to take her home life. Even with Joan away from McCann, their paths converged in the finale, when Big Red used Ken's outreach to her as an opportunity to start her own production company and to recruit Peggy. While Peggy chose to stay and fight to carve out her place in the McCann machine, the validation from Joan reflected the mutual respect the viewers have craved to witness for seven seasons. And as many suspected, after achieving maybe her greatest personal validation yet from Don, Peggy discovered love right under her nose in the form of that bearded, shaggy puppy, Stan. It looks to be the lasting kind, forged through a long friendship. And with Joan's latest disappointment in the man department, maybe Peggy's example of letting Mr. Right come to her will give another lesson to the show's most unlikely feminist icon. Number one, Don finds his key to happiness, merging his Don and Dick personas into a coherent whole. Don's self-professed early retirement from advertising appeared to be a return to his simple country Dick Whitman persona. But in the early part of the finale, the boozing and womanizing that represented so much of Don's actions in the series presented a very real conflict. At his core, throughout the series, Don Draper has been a man at war with himself. He wants to identify with the simple goodness that Dick Whitman represents, yet all of the childhood memories that come with it are toxic. The Don persona always seemed to represent all of his baser instincts, even if that more cunning mind carried the key to his professional success. For Dick slash Don, it can now clearly be seen in retrospect that the key to his success and personal happiness has been accepting all sides of himself fully and working to extract the best parts of them. While the self-help gaga seemed like a pointless sideshow until the end, the emotional breakdown that Don endured when he realized just how universal his problems were was cathartic, breaking up the blockages that kept him from amassing his coherent whole. And in the final moment of the series, Don's acquisition of the seed of the idea that would go on to form the immortal Buy the World a Coke ad campaign illustrated how neatly he tied everything together. Beyond that moment, which portended a return to McCann and his children, we know nothing of his life as he moves into the 1970s, but we know that he's much better equipped to handle everything than he was in the prior decade, and a great many of us would argue that's all the closure that we need. Thank you for checking out our Mad Men coverage in the FDH Lounge. This show will be greatly missed.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, all Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classic, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, The Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Awkwafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.